Hey, why am I his sidekick, all right? How do you know he's not my sidekick?
Welcome to Fireside.
First off, welcome to Fireside. When we talking comic books the entire time. Ain't going nowhere, so dry your eyes. Already lasted longer than Firefly. Stay tuned, Mitty's got the creepiest news. From books to TV, even movie reviews. Plus the next toy, baby, here we choose. Even a superhero fight club will we usually lose. So popping those earbuds, turn up those speakers. Feel Mammoth's power, Earth 2 with features. And either listen by weekly or you can binge us. We got it all, baby.
Are there ninjas?
So relax and lie back as we start another issue of Fireside Chats. Comic facts and wise cracks. Welcome to the show. This is Fireside Chats.
Welcome to another issue of Fireside Chats. I'm your host, Menti, and with me as always are my wonderful sidekicks. First, Mr. Mashko.
Hello, how are you?
He's kicking it currently.
Can I kick it?
Yes, he's in the middle of kicking
it. I literally am kicking it right now.
He's just straight up kicking it. What is being kicked?
Me.
You're kicking yourself. That's all I got. And then there's Maurer.
Beep you, fine chaps. Beep Ooh. You. Ooh.
Beep you, fine chaps. Good morrow, good sir.
top of the evening to you.
Okay.
Why don't you leave your cane and top hat over here and knuckle up to the bar and grab yourself a nice something.
He was going. I was like, where's this punchline stopping?
I could go for quite a nightcap, a little brew, and maybe some whiskey. Bring me a hot toddy, and I'll bring you some joy.
Yeah. I don't know what's happening anymore. We've lost control.
Did you ever have control? Seriously?
For a little bit, and then
Janet
you came
Jackson
back.
Did.
It is Friday. What's that mean?
Not news.
Yeah, we're going to argue about some shit.
And I'm just going to mediate.
So we were supposed to do this a month ago.
And then Loki.
Loki, unfortunately, was created.
God. I'm so happy you were gone for Loki. You would have been such a Debbie Downer. I'm so happy you weren't around for that.
It's a shit show.
Oh, you are.
Yeah, but that makes for great videos.
My opinion of Loki. That's all you need. But no, we're going to talk about something good, at least.
For anybody who's not watching, he definitely just farted into the microphone.
At least the source material is great. I won't know yet if what we're talking about, the movie of this, is good. And that's The Long Halloween. That came out about a month ago at this point, and it's in the new DC animated universe. And just like they did the new animation for the Superman, it is them kind of introducing you to Batman, which is where I think they got some inspiration for it. And we also have the wonderful Jensen Ackles coming back to DC Animation and doing what he should have been in the real life and portraying Batman. So he was in The Red Hood. You like that one, right, Menti?
That's by far the best one. By far my favorite, hands down, best DC animated movie.
So Jensen Ackles was Red Hood in that, and they've upgraded him to Batman. He was up for Batman in the movies, but he couldn't give the time to leave Supernatural, so he kind of pulled his name out of it.
I don't know. Is that a reason to leave Supernatural?
When you see
is that
how
a risk willing to take?
When you see how close those guys are and how big
well, they
that
still
could
have hung out on the weekends, but they would be hanging out with Batman now.
But I'm talking the show. You couldn't have done the show without him. So for him to do that, the show would have ended. So him leaving is not just him leaving. It's all of his friends and family now not having a job. And you know how important family is.
Oh, my God. I don't want that meme to infect this show.
I'm not talking about a meme. I'm talking about Fast and Furious.
I know, which has become a meme.
Those haters. So, yeah, you guys all saw the movie?
I did, twice now.
We'll talk about the movie, talk about the first half of the comic, its origins, and its muddy place in DC history, but its prominent place in the mythos of Batman. And specifically, you know how we say that if it wasn't for Spider-Man appearing in Civil War, we wouldn't have a podcast?
Mm-hmm.
If we didn't have this comic, I wouldn't be a part of the podcast.
How so?
You mean like the last few weeks?
Wow. I finally missed some episodes.
Maurer found out that they're making a long Halloween sequel, and he's like, well, I must come back. They put the bat signal in the sky.
So I quit comics. I found that they were girls, and I sold most of my collection. I moved out of my house, and I was done. And I was working in a mall and bored on break that was right next to a comic shop. I was just putzing around. I was like, oh, do you read? And I was like, not really anymore. And they're like, they slapped this down and were like, this will get you back into it. And I was like, I'll buy it, but I doubt I'm going to be getting back into comics. And then literally right after that, I was like, you got any more of that Tim Sale, Jeff Loeb stuff? And it got me hooked. And the biggest thing of this comic is it's not written like a comic. It's written like a film noir movie, and Tim Sale's panels in the comic are laid out like a movie, where you see pan-ins, you see pan-outs. It's not what at the time was stereotypical for the comics and what you got with them. So I just fell in love, and if it wasn't for this, I probably wouldn't have fallen back in love with comics.
Well, I mean, people talk about Long Halloween the same way they talk about The Dark Knight Rises and Year One. I mean, the most prominent Batman stories, this is what, top three?
I would say top three, easily.
I mean, it would probably Dark Knight Returns is probably number one. And then Year One and Long Halloween? Is that how you would do it?
I would probably say this is above Year One, depending on how people's perception of Frank Miller are. People will love Year One and not have read Year One, if that makes sense. They love the idea of Year One. They don't really... It's four issues of a comic of just kind of like a flashback. It's not really its own thing. And the people didn't really read... The people that you talked to didn't really read those back issues in the 80s of those comics. This, people are going to say they love it, and other people are going to say, why? Because it's not really the Batman they know. This is definitely going to be out there with people that kind of have to dive into Batman and learn more about him. Because you can get along with never reading this and not have your Batman love impacted.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So Hush is your ultimate Batman story, right?
Like, no, that's your... underneath this.
Really? Huh. So I always took Hush's. Yeah, I always took Hush's like the Maurer book.
So there's three books for me, for three series for me, because to me this is, along with the Dark Knight Halloween specials and Dark Victory and Catwoman, it's one big thing to me. So there's the Tim Sale, Jeff Loeb Batman. There's Hush, and then there's No Man's Land. My top three Batman stories.
That's a good list.
The dark,
Although that's a lot in one. That's a lot condensed into your number one.
But it's one big story, and the way they write it, it reads much faster than what it is. If that makes sense.
And if you had to take one and make it the number one,
it'd be this, and it edges out Hush just slightly because of the impact it had on my comic fandom.
Okay.
You know, without this, I wouldn't have become a fan of Hush because I wouldn't have been reading comics.
Okay, Maurer, so for those who don't know Long Halloween, have no prior knowledge of Batman's, you know, chronological history, why is this something that they should care about? And do you think it's worth them reading the comic before watching the movie, or let the movie be the introduction into the comic?
So this is where I'm going to say, if you haven't read the comic, watch the movie and then read the comic. Because I think they're both focusing on two different aspects of it, and we're going to might as well jump into this. The continuity of this book is murky. It was influenced and recommended based on Mark Waid talking about his sequel to Year One, but they don't really set a time in stone of when this took place. It's not exactly Year Two, but it's not at the end of his career. There's lots of villains in it, but a lot of people still think it's very, very early in his career. And you can place it wherever you want. The movie, however, I think is taking it as literal. Batman's only been around for a year, and he's learning how to be Batman. And they're writing that line in the ground. So if you're looking at this to read one or the other, just pick one and go from it. And if you're more of a fan of watching your comic stuff, watch the movie, because the comic is not going to be the same. Even if it's going over the same content, the points they're focusing on are slightly different.
Oh, absolutely, because there's a bunch of tie-ins, and it's a much larger thing than you're going to find your 20-minute YouTube videos. But the world on the internet surrounding Batman seems to see a through line between Year One, Long Halloween, and then The Dark Knight Returns as its own trilogy, even though obviously written by very different people and take place obviously at very different times, especially when you take The Dark Knight Returns into the equation. Then they see it as the evolution of Gotham having a caped crusader going from mob-ridden to classic superhero villains now being the prominent, you know, the prominent crime force within Gotham. Is an evolution, and the story just continually evolves. Then, especially when you go into something like Dark Knight Returns, where the, like, you know, what are the mutants? Yeah. Is the big gang. So, and you can see how the influence of Batman plays into the larger scheme of Gotham.
So, I'm going to turn that on its head and say that none of these books have anything to do with who's running Gotham, but where Batman finds himself in humanity. So, in the beginning, Batman loses everything. And is forced to find a way for him to exist and avenge his fallen parents. So he sees reflection of them in Gotham, which is the corruption, which would be the mob family. By the time you get to this, it's him losing faith in the systems that he's helped put in place to save the city. And he loses faith in Gotham. He loses faith in the system of Gotham. By the time you get to The Dark Knight Returns, he's lost faith in humanity, which is why you have the mutants as what he's combating against, because he doesn't even feel that what is wrong with the world is human. And there's been a lot of thought put into whether or not the mutants were actually really mutants or just what Batman was seeing as mutants at that time.
That's an interesting thought.
So if you look at this trilogy in the opposite light of where Batman is in comparison to what he's going against, it's a much more linear story.
Because, I mean, you will see a lot of people will say, like, if you're going to read three Batman books, that's the three to read. In that order, specifically.
Yeah. And we talked about before, I'm in the school of thought that this is the middle of his career. He's established himself. He has villains. But he's still fighting the good fight. This is very much the Dark Knight movie, where he wants to stop being Batman. He wants the city to be good, and he thinks that the city can save itself. And by the end of this story, he no longer has faith in that.
So to you, well, first off, where in the Batman DC animated movies would you put this in? Because we've gotten a slew over the last couple of years with Gotham by Gaslight, with Hush, and
with my ranking for it?
Yeah, like, would you say that this is worth the $20 on iTunes, or should you just wait for HBO Max?
All of DC's movies are worth the $20.
Mm.
I would not say not to buy any of their DC animated, because there hasn't been one yet that I didn't go, well, I at least enjoyed it.
For Batman?
For any of them.
Superman, that last Superman?
I loved the last Superman one.
With Parasite and Lobo? And
I loved the last one.
Oof, man, I didn't like that one that much.
To me, that was a cool Superman story.
Except for brought Lobo into the Superman origin, but okay.
It's fine.
Ugh.
It didn't impact Superman's reason for being there. It didn't impact where he was destined to go. It was just another... It's better than seeing another Zod or something like that come into it.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Taking chances on a unique villain. I'll give you that. I just didn't like the whole last survivors of their planet thing. That's why they brought Lobo in so early on, even though Lobo killed everyone. Well, on
they're trying
planet.
To get a Lobo movie off the ground, so I think getting his name out there was
that makes sense. That makes sense.
But as far as the rank, I'm not going to say where I rank this until the second one comes out.
Would you put this first half up with you where, like, Hush?
The first half is still on a pause, because unless they kill it on the second half, the first half sucked. Because this was all build up. Because
The Dark Knight Part 1 and Part 2 were stellar.
But that was
Part 2 definitely better, but Part 1 was still really good.
And to me, the Superman being split, they still had full stories in each of them. This doesn't have a full story in it. This is literally just a beginning and the start of a middle.
So it's Empire Strikes Back.
It's Empire Strikes Back. So it's going to either be hugely improved by the second part, or you're going to be so let down that you're going to hate it. And I don't think that's going to happen. I think this is going to be knocked out of the park. I think they are tying this together with Superman's origins. So they're kind of starting off their new superhero origins around the same times of each other so they can progress them together. It has a unique animation style that I think is still modern, but still has some homages back to what we're used to. And the best part of the movie to me was in the opening credits, them doing the actual Tim Sale art, because his art style was so impactful on the story that you couldn't do something without showing it at least.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, I'm trying to wrap my head because I see this as, especially with all of the DC animated movies recently, have feel like they've been geared towards Maurer. Like things that Maurer's been talking about for the last 5 years that I've known him have all slowly started becoming DC animated movies. Where do you think the next one's going to be then? Just out of curiosity. So Long Halloween Part 2 comes out.
I think we're going to No Man's Land.
Ooh. Can you give a quick little No Man's Land breakdown?
An earthquake makes Gotham uninhabitable and the United States government annexes it. No one in, no one out.
So it's Escape from LA, but
basically
with Batman.
However, the criminals and people are still left on the island, kind of like Dark Knight Rises. And they each take a section of it, kind of like the Harley Quinn cartoon. So if you combine Dark Knight Rises with the Harley Quinn cartoon, they both got most of their inspiration from No Man's Land.
You should, I know this is a little off topic, but you should check it out just because you're such a, you're into that story so much. The company Graphic Audio, one of their original books that they did was No Man's Land, and it's beautifully put together. If anybody's unaware of what I'm talking about, Graphics Audio is literally they take the story and add sound effects into it and they make it like a little movie in your car. But they did a series of Batman ones, and the one that they did for No Man's Land was just beautifully executed. The acting was stellar. I mean, you even took a mute character and made them interesting.
Yep. And if you think about No Man's Land, a big chunk of that story, there is no Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So the little marks that Joseph Gordon-Levitt was making in Dark Knight Rises showing the Batman symbol comes from that, because they were still putting his logo in their territories to make criminals and people think that he was still watching over them, even though he was long gone. So it kind of goes to the symbol of Batman being more than Batman himself.
So, Mashko, I mean, you hate cartoons. So
I wouldn't say I hate. So first I want to say that this is one of those issues or episodes or whatever we're calling it where I just kind of sit back and absorb, because you guys go in so deeply on some of this stuff that it's an education for a lot of people. So there's that. And you would think by now, after what, 30 days, almost 30 days, I would have read the, 12 or 13 issues of the actual run, but I didn't. that's all I can do is giggle through this, because as soon as I start talking about the movie, I'm going to start cracking up. So, because I fell asleep. Like, I was out cold for at least over an hour of it.
For anybody who's new to the show, Mashko hates cartoons. Like,
I don't hate cartoons. I have a hard time with certain subject matter when it's in animated form. So
specifically superheroes.
Yes. But it also depends on the animation. And I know, Maurer, you said you really liked it. The opening sequence was really cool. I admit that. But when you got into the actual movie portion of it, it seemed very choppy. It seemed like there were missing frames. It wasn't smooth. It just didn't appeal to me in that way, which is funny because I often say I don't really care about the format when it comes to movies. But when it comes to something that's not real or in physical form, it needs to look right to me for some reason.
Well, this also has the combination of the digital animation.
Mm-hmm. That's probably what it
CGI.
Is. Yeah, because I mean I've said multiple times the way I start my day is at 5 o'clock. I turn the TV on, I tune into Freeform, and they play 2 episodes of G.I. Joe back to back at 5 a.m. I watch that every morning.
G.I. Joe.
You know, I have my coffee, I check my email, I do all my wonderful things in the morning to get the day right, and that's part of it.
Yo, Joe.
So, and I haven't with the new He-Man. Like, I haven't even watched the trailer for that because I actually want to sit down and watch it. And the recent Transformers that came out last year, I think they're coming out with a second season soon. That wasn't too bad. I kind of enjoyed that. So there's some stuff out there. But yeah, with the superhero stuff, it's really weird. I either like, you know, the live action in the movies or even on TV, or just actual comics.
Now, this is a very slow opening.
Mm-hmm. And oh, yeah.
They do a lot to show the uncomfortable kind of personality in dealing with somebody as dedicated to what he's dedicated to in Harvey Dent. They show him and his wife, and the mm-hmm. marriage isn't doing well. Mm-hmm. And it's 100% because the only thing he truly cares about is taking down organized crime.
I think when his house blows up, I think that's the last thing I remember. So however far in it was, like from that point till about maybe 20 minutes before the end of the first, episode or first portion of it, that I was out.
But this is like a film noir, and it was written that way. So the mm-hmm. beginning of all those film noir books and movies and books are like Guy Ritchie films. Mm-hmm. Nothing makes sense and connects in the beginning. You're getting a lot of info, a lot of characters, a lot of a lot of things happening, but they don't seem like they connect or that they have purpose. And then by the end of it, you go, everything meant everything. And this is building towards that. I have a feeling for those of you who haven't seen part one yet, just wait. Because part two comes out in, 3 weeks? I think 2 or 3 weeks it comes out. Mm-hmm. And you can just watch it back to back, and I think it's going to be a better experience for people.
Just make sure you watch it at the right time and not after your full day of work where you're tired and you just...
Yeah, this is my problem. It's a more serious subject matter. Mm-hmm. It's not a superhero. And that was what's so big about the book when it came out, is it was a detective story. It was a noir book. It wasn't wham, bow, pat, bash. Like, it was a slow burn whodunit.
Well, okay, so quick question then. With things, okay, so the changes that they made in Hush, I'm trying to do this without actually spoiling anything, since this is a very different topic than we talked about Hush. The changes they made to Hush pissed a lot of people off.
But it made sense.
Sure, but like, it still pissed a lot of people
off. There's no way to do that book, because guess what? They changed the ending to Hush in continuity again twice after that book came out. So even in the comics, they still hadn't decided on the ending of that book 2 different times.
Well, I'm glad you gave me that little tidbit, because my question for you is, are you okay with the more subtle changes, but changes that they made in the first half than from the comics? So, for example, Harvey Dent being hospitalized opposed to his wife, or Batman giving him the coin for the Two-Face coin. Like those little, or biggest one, the him not being a very good detective. do those yes. smaller things bother you?
No, because it fits into this universe. And as long as, that's what I'm saying, I can't give a true opinion until I get the payoff at the end. And they've alluded to the payoff that was alluded to in the book. And if it isn't the confusing whodunit at the end, I'm going to be upset. So there's a whole character storyline underlining to this that if you've read the book, you know what I'm talking about. And if they don't add that piece to the transformation, to truly give you the fact that anyone can cross that line, it's just as important as in the Joker, the one bad day with Gordon for the Killing Joke.
Okay, so but I'm just basing off what you just said about how you're okay with the changes because they fit in continuity of the story. So in this version of the story, those changes make sense.
Yes.
When they do things like that, the reason I'm bringing this up is that Mashko and I had a very long conversation about this not too long ago, about how us as comic book fans might need to reform the way we look at new media, because it's going to be based around the medium opposed to based around the source material. So being comfortable with changes is going to be important moving forward, especially with things like that we've seen in Black Widow, that we've seen with Spider-Man. But those decisions made sense in continuity of that story, but yet some of them still annoy me. So do you change that line? Like, for example, you don't like the new Spider-Man as much as, well, I mean, not only any of us on this podcast like the new Spider-Man as much as like an Andrew Garfield, but it does make sense in continuity to the MCU.
But I don't like that because the changes they made for Spider-Man changed the core of what I see as the character and the supporting characters. Where the changes they're making this don't change the characters as much and their personalities or the supporting characters. It's just changing to help the story, if that makes sense. My problems with Spider-Man is everything that we've known growing up and reading with Flash Thompson and MJ and the Harry, like, you don't have that in these new things to the point where we're not going to get it. So we're not going to get those payoffs later down the line with this Spider-Man story.
Unless that's just in the college years. That's the what I'm thinking, except for MJ. I don't think MJ is going to change. But I do think that, like, Harry's going to show up when Osborn starts to show up. And that'll probably be in the college year. So if this is the end of the high school saga for Peter Parker, and now we're going to start into the college and then, you know, the three after that, if all of that turns out to be true, it wouldn't surprise me if those supporting characters start rolling in on the next trilogy.
But we still have a shitty Flash Thompson.
Yes, we do. And that will always be this case. I don't even him being Agent Venom, inevitably. Is just weird to me. Or, you know, Ned being Hobgoblin. Yeah.
So
it's just a weird thing to me.
But that's the split off of it, where these changes aren't changing the characters, they're changing the story, where those changes change the characters.
Oh, so and the reason why I'm bringing this up, because I think it's pretty important moving forward, is as we just found out, spoiler alert for Loki, the characters like Sylvie, who are very much Lady Loki / Enchantress, are not Lady Loki because it's an original character in the context of the MCU. Same with the one who remains, right? Not Immortus, because it, although very much like Immortus, not is an original character in the MCU. And then we're going to start seeing that Taskmaster, an original character in the MCU, opposed to what we've always known. So tapering off our expectations for source material might be the only way to enjoy comic stuff moving forward.
So I'm going to lay it out there. The way the MCU does it, I am not a fan of.
The way they do it now.
Yeah, the way that Taskmaster, I'll give or take.
I won't.
It could. And I called it. You know, I called it long, long time ago. It's becoming predictable what they're doing and why they're doing it, and the Disney influence on their character building. And that is more because I can't just see the character. I see the man behind the character going, we're going to do this for this reason. And that bothers the freaking hell out of me. Because you could do it the other way. What they're doing isn't impacting the story as much. It's just changing a character to change a character so that they could do another story. But they rarely do the story in a different way than if you had just portrayed the character straight.
Yeah, it doesn't. You're right. Like, for example, apparently the original, I mean, I know we're way off topic here, but the original Black Widow script had Taskmaster acting more like Tony Masters. And it wasn't until later on that it became the, you know, the Deadpool in Wolverine Origins.
And the fact that the character the whole time was a body double shows that they did it after the fact. So the changes in this animated movie help the story and help tell the story without impacting the characters in the way that we know them. I'm okay with. It's all that other shit that just drives me up a wall because it doesn't need to be done. Somebody's just afraid of something and wants to say, hey, we're changing this.
I get that. I get that. That makes sense. So it's a yay for you then, right? I mean, I feel like this is a win for, in the Maori
animated universe. I'm
giving it an
Orange Cassidy.
That's a wrestling reference there, Menti.
I have no.
You'll be learning that soon on our Heels review.
Oh, what? An Orange Cassidy? I mean, I got an orange light, right? For a long Halloween.
We'll come back to this.
My pumpkin face.
After the long Halloween part two comes out, we'll do an issue dedicated just to the movie and just review that straight. But for right now, I'm waiting with bated breath for that second half to come out.
Do you ever get annoyed with, I mean, I don't know, this is, there's a positive and a negative here. Do you ever get annoyed with these will be, like, this version of Long Halloween will probably become the reference Long Halloween moving forward?
Yes, especially for the, is it the second year or where is this taking place? Because they're setting a line in the sand that this is the beginning of his career. And there's no way to unpack. You can't put that back in the box. Where the ambiguity of the book before, with influences for here, but it's not really here. Like Tim Sale had said in that one interview, you have year one and then everything else can be considered year two. Like, it's anywhere in that spectrum. But with this, they're definitely showing he's not a detective yet. He doesn't want to be a detective. He's making mistakes. And I am hoping that he does the big twist at the end isn't him making a mistake rather than what the original story was.
Oh, it's going to be. Oh, you just spoke that to existence. That is exactly what's going to happen. That was bad. That was bad. That was bad. That's 100% what's going to happen.
That's all I do is predict these things.
Yeah, that sucks. All right.
Well, but, that sucks. No, go watch the movie, watch both of them back to back, then read the comic. Let us know what you think is better.
Oh, wait. So would you say don't buy part one, wait for part two to come out and then buy it?
Buy both of them, yeah.
Or do you, well, do you think someone needs to rush to see this? Or
no, at wait this point, wait for out? The second two, because it's going to be better seeing them together.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying for me, who slept through it the first time and hasn't read the full run, I should...
For you, you should come watch it with me.
I'll get like, actually, no, I won't get a running commentary because you stay quiet during movies, which is fantastic. Rub my feet. Come on.
Caress the back of your neck.
But just, I should wait till
slowly move your finger to it's just the fingernails. Yeah.
No, because what we'll do is we'll read the comic ahead of time, have a discussion about the comic, and then go into the movie.
So I should read the book.
You should, Machko, because you're going to react to the movie in a revelatory way.
You sit on his lap and he reads it to you.
Jesus Christ. What did you guys think of the movie before we end?
It didn't pass the phone test.
It didn't pass the sleep test. But
we'd
all... How long? I don't know. Maybe 25 minutes?
That's a pretty good chunk. I mean, Loki, the last episode, made 3 seconds before I picked up my phone.
Loki, man, I don't know where. Wow. The didn't make 3 seconds, that little montage they had.
I saw it and I was like, this is the dumbest shit ever.
Oh, we forgot to talk about that on the news. Everybody, this is fake. First off, let me just throw that out there right now. The ship that everyone's talking about, they're like, oh, it's the Fantastic Four. But why do you say that? Because you saw a ship that you didn't recognize in the MCU? You don't know. Stop just making up stuff.
The ship is Quantumania, all right?
No. One of the scenes for like a split second, a ship that we've not seen in the MCU appears in that opening montage of all of the sound bites and such. And people are freaking out online saying this is our first tease to the Fantastic Four. It's like, bro, no, it's not. I mean, maybe. I highly doubt that, though. I highly doubt that.
I will put this movie above Loki.
No, not at all. Mm-mm. Not at all. The ramifications of Loki is so big.
Just because something impacts something else in a big way does not make said content good.
If you look at it as a large story, yes, it does.
I'm looking at Loki as a Guy Ritchie film where I need all of it in order to make sense of it.
But we saw all of it.
Listen, no, there's season two.
The big thing, and Machko and I are talking about this, Loki was impacted by the pandemic harder than any other show. And I truly think that's what took me out of the show. I really do.
That sucks for you.
And the fact that there was no twists. Like, everything was super predictable.
You went into it the same way I went into this animated movie. Immediately, I thought, I'm not going to like this, so I didn't really give it its full attention.
No, I was excited for it, but I thought since it was Loki, we were going to get twists. I thought we were going back to WandaVision, where like you were going to have to guess what's going to, like, oh my God, what's this? And nothing was not like, it's in your face. We're going to tell you what it is. Here you go. Like,
I still think
that's... I also think that's you being a comic book fan. I think non-comic book people are going to go, what the hell is happening? I think your history kind of taints the way you would look at something like that.
It's just bad.
I mean, look, how many people didn't realize the twist of WandaVision that we all called immediately?
Dumb people.
Non-comic book fans. And that's, guess who they're making this stuff for, Bo?
Normies.
Well, it wasn't non-comic book fans. It was people born after 1995. They just didn't know what a sitcom was.
It's definitely not me.
It's non-comic book fans, right, bro. That's what they're, because comic book, these are now ads for comics. No, comics are ads for these. And these are the important thing now. That's why I'm saying, isn't it annoying having Long Halloween change? Because that's kind of be how it's seen moving
I'm
forward.
Leaning more to being a DC fan. I was always kind of 50-50. The MCU was pushing me more towards the DC side.
I think the DC needs to show me more before I can make that decision.
And once
it's a very one-sided fight right now.
Once Moon Knight drops, he's going to be out completely.
Yeah, probably. 100%. Dude, no, he's going to be so mad when Moon Knight comes out. It's going to be so funny. Dude, please make a reaction video to the first trailer. Please. Oh. Please.
Could have had a nice little Jewish boy. Instead, we got Oscar Isaac.
I want to make a reaction to Maurer's reaction. So I want to go real Inception with this. I just want to lock Maurer in a room with just a screen and a camera, and then just listen outside to hear him screaming, and then react to the video.
You've seen me see things for the first time. I'm not the most reactionary person.
Yeah, but you also haven't had something you've loved as much as Moon Knight come into the cinematic world.
You weren't there when I saw Gambit for the first time in X-Men Origins Wolverine.
And if the Chad Octavian Gambit trailer ever dropped, I'd want to see the same thing from
it. It would be a whole lot of this.
Yeah, and I will laugh hysterically. All right, you can find the show Welcome to Fireside everywhere online. That's Welcome to Fireside at your social media choice and YouTube, unless it's Twitter, which is Fireside Crew. And yeah, keep supporting. Oh, by the way, big thing we forgot to hit. Go ahead and go to lootcrate.com, make your decision what you want to get. Throw that coupon code for 15% off, Fireside Crew 15. Go ahead, support the show. Get yourself some fun some loot from Loot Crate, a crate of loot that you can then hand out to friends if you've some stuff in there you don't want. But, I want the Groot. So, and then if anybody wants to buy me the Rocket Raccoon and the Star-Lord, that'd be great. You could do that too. And you could use our discount code to buy me my birthday present.
Wait, I forgot.
15% off.
I forgot to give a shout out to Pete from Pete's Basement. He came across those little mini Masters of the Universe characters that are starting to hit dollar stores, and he got me the full set and shipped them out to me.
Oh, that's, dude, Pete is the man.
I thought you were coming up with a new property over there with Masters of the Unicorns.
Ah.
That almost came out.
That's going to be Garrett Gunn's next project.
There you go. I will take 10% of that, please.
You took the joke right from my mouth.
Garrett Gunn will be on the show again in September to talk about Good Boy with some surprises there.
Sweet.
That we can't share yet. But we've got some big things, and don't forget, Fireside's involved in everything.
And that will be the next time Maurer's on this show.
Good chance.
He just shows up for the interviews.
That's it. Important moments.
Moshko's going to take the legwork. Moshko's become our new backbone.
Fireside Crew 15 on lootcrate.com.
Fireside Crew 15. LootCrate.com. Thanks, Loot Crate.
Bye, guys.